Hi, this is Brad Friedman, and you're listening to an encore rebroadcast of The Brad Show on Raw Radio. Don't bother to call us because ain't no one gonna answer your calls.
Karl Rove has created a firestorm in Washington by criticizing the liberals' response to the September 11th attacks.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 and the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding to our attackers.
For him to try to exploit 9/11 for political purposes, once again, just shows you how desperate they are.
Coming at you on Raw Radio, live and local, as they say, live and local, at least, in our Hollywood hideaway, high atop the Hollywood Hills, in our super secret location, our command center. We're glad to have you join us tonight as we broadcast coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in, and by all means, since I'm told we're having a couple of technical problems, tune in tomorrow at our for our rebroadcast, noon to 4 Eastern Time and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time, when we hope that we can get all of these glitches worked out. Ah, computer glitches. What do you know? All right, you can give us a call. We're going to have John Amato here from Crooks and Liars very shortly in studio, our first in-studio guest, if he gets here in time. Is he running late? Is he on the phone? Is he on his way? He's coming. All right. Well, we hope he'll get here in time. We look forward to having him here from the great crooksandliars.com. Let's see here, a little bit of business. This portion of The Brad Show made possible by VotersUnite.org. VotersUnite.org is a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to fair and accurate elections. VotersUnite.org is the home of Mythbreakers, facts about electronic elections. This is a collection of information that is essential to those entrusted with making decisions about election systems in the United States. Mythbreakers is offered free of charge at www.votersunite.org, or for a small cost, the listener can get a printed and bound copy in the mail. Your donations will allow votersunite.org to continue doing their work and will help pay for this advertisement. Also, be sure to get on their terrific daily update list for news and headlines about election reform around the country, delivered straight to your mailbox 7 days a week at votersunite.org. Can't say enough nice things about these guys. John Gideon, Ellen Tyson, just doing a fabulous job combing the papers every day for the most up-to-date election reform news. Okay, before we get to John Amato from Crooks and Liars, just a couple of news items that broke late Friday, and we want to make sure we get to you. You see, they break late on Friday, so they end up in the news hole, so you don't hear about them. Well, we're going to fix that. U.S. acknowledges torture at Guantanamo and Iraq and Afghanistan, says a U.N. source. This, according to AFP, Washington has for the first time acknowledged to the United Nations that prisoners have been tortured at U.S. detention centers in Guantanamo Bay, as well as Afghanistan and Iraq, a U.N. source said. We'll see if that U.N. source turns out to be right, but this would be the first time they've made this admission. The acknowledgement was made in a report submitted to the U.N. Committee Against Torture, said a member of the 10-person panel speaking on condition of anonymity. The U.S. mission to the U.N. institutions in Geneva was unavailable for comment on the report late Friday. Quote, they are no longer trying to duck this and have respected their obligation to inform the UN. Well, that's nice, the committee member told AFP, adding that the U.S. described the incidents as isolated acts, that's a quote, carried out by low-ranking members of the military who were being punished. It's not their fault. It's just low-ranking members of the military. Hey, Kat, weren't you a low-ranking member of the military at some point? You were, right? You were in the Air Force, something like that? Okay. You didn't do this sort of thing, did you? You're not one of those bad apples we heard about. Okay. Quote, they will have to explain themselves to the committee, the member said. Nothing should be kept in the dark. UN sources said it was the first time the world body has received such a frank statement on torture from U.S. authorities. Yes, I guess it has. Why do you suppose they're telling the truth all of a sudden? What's going on? What are they doing? They're telling the truth. All right. Well, that may be too late, however, because I've got this here. Let's see. Bush's job ratings. Now, I know you're tired of hearing just how low his job ratings are, but what you might not have heard is how low his job ratings are here in California. California's appraisal of the job President George W. Bush is doing stands at an all-time low. At present, just 34% of Californians approve of the president's performance, down from 41% in February. This is the lowest measurement Bush has received from residents of this state since taking office in January of 2001. 34% approval rating in... Is California the most populous state? Yeah? Is it? You guys don't know. You don't care. You don't know. You don't care. The president's performance... What's that, Greg? Alaska is the most popular. That's the biggest. All right. The president. Show via Raw Radio. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, Brad Friedman, with you for the next 3 hours. Hopefully we're getting out there. I understand we're having some technical problems at the network. Well, as usual, we are the Brad News Bears, but we're up and rolling, and hopefully if there is whatever problems are going on, we will have them fixed by the rebroadcast tomorrow that takes place every Sunday. Let's see, 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time. So you can tune in and catch any portion of the broadcast that you missed. It will be there. It will also be available at bradshow.com, where you can download all of our archives for all of our shows. If you happen to miss anything, not as much fun, of course, as listening live. But hey, you got to do what you got to do on a Saturday night in the summer, which is what we're doing here on The Brad Show. It is Brad Blogathon weekend, and if you stop by bradblog.com, you will see some groundbreaking stuff going on. The readers have taken over the blog. That's right. I'm not allowed to post on my own blog anymore, bradblog.com. Steve Veely, Winter Patriot, Torqued, Jim Cyril, I gotta learn how to say his name, I read it all the time, I'd never say it, Peg C, all of these guys, and many, many more have contributed their time to create this, well, I don't think it's ever been done before, where the readers and fans of a blog have taken it over to help raise money for the blog, help keep us on the air, help keep us blogging. And they've got an amazing array of guest bloggers there. Presidential candidate David Cobb was blogging this morning. You can read that. Larissa Alexandrovna, our friend from Raw Story. Winter Patriot, always keeping an eye on the Brad blog for us. Josh Middledorf, who was responsible for a lot of the reports on the exit polling after the election. John Amato from Crooks and Liars. Robert Kohler from Tribune Media Services, Bob Fitrakis. Whistleblower Clint Curtis is going to be blogging on Sunday. And the Brad bloggers, unbelievable folks that they are, have arranged for him to get a new German Shepherd puppy that, well, it'll never take the place of Champ, who was lost not long ago under mysterious circumstances after I broke the story of Clint Curtis and his vote fraud whistleblowing story that he was asked by Tom Feeney to create vote rigging software down in Florida. Pretty amazing story. And so I'm thrilled that they're helping him get a new puppy. And there's a contest to figure out how to name who, what he should be named. He or she, I'm not sure, actually. So thank you guys endlessly. We're going to talk to, hopefully in the next hour, a little bit, Kira, one of the Brad blog readers, and see how things are going over there. We're going to speak shortly, very shortly here, with John Brakey and David Griscom of Audit AZ. They're going to let us know what they found in Arizona when it comes to election irregularities. Yes, folks, we're still on it like a dog with the bone. We're not going to let it go because it's only our democracy at stake. Also want to thank HereticInc.com for all the help they've done. They've given us over at the Brad Store, which is now open via Brad Blog for this blogathon. They do great stuff, great work, and you can buy a Brad Blog t-shirt. And I'm told you can even get a Brad Blog bobblehead doll. Very embarrassing. All right, this portion of The Brad Show is brought to you by VotersUnite.org. VotersUnite.org is a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to fair and accurate elections. Imagine that. VotersUnite.org is the home of Mythbreakers, facts about electronic elections. This is a collection of information that is essential to those entrusted with making decisions about election systems in the United States, and there are many of them doing exactly that right now. As they're receiving all of this HAVA money. So Mythbreakers is offered free of charge at VotersUnite.org, or for a small cost, you can get a printed and bound copy in the mail. Your donation allows VotersUnite.org to do their incredible work and to help pay for this advertisement. Also, listen, if you haven't done this, get on their terrific daily email update list. You can do it at VotersUnite.org. John Gideon every day sends out all the important stories, and there's more than ever now coming out about election reform and about these counties that are choosing which voting machines they're going to use. Are they going to have paper trails? Are they not? Are they going to have paper ballots? Yep. He's reporting on all of that every day. Helps me stay up to date at bradblog.com, and allow him to help you stay up to date. Visit VotersUnite.org today. All right. From Audit AZ, which stands for Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency in Media and Elections, we are pleased, finally, I've been trying to get these guys on for a couple of weeks, and there's been so much damn news that somebody's got to tell that I just haven't been able to sneak them in. So finally, we got them in this week, one way or another. John Brakey and Dr. David Griscom. John Brakey was the Democratic precinct cluster captain during the November presidential election for four precincts in Arizona Legislative District 27, which is a part of a predominantly Hispanic congressional district, number 7. He observed irregular activities in the course of that job, and he was greeted with hostility by poll workers. Imagine that, by poll workers at three of the four voting stations he monitored. Being a veteran civic activist, he was the founder of the American Subcontractors Association in Tucson and the environmental nonprofit Amigos del Mar Cortez. In Mexico. Boy, could I sound like any more of a white guy. Mr. Brakey was impelled by his election day experiences to initiate an audit of the vote process at one of those precincts, number 324. He was joined in this effort by Dr. David Griscom, a retired research physicist with nearly 40 years' experience in gathering data, forming hypotheses, and validating or falsifying these hypotheses by application of mathematical analysis. The results of what Mr. Brakey found in his research is what I suggested over at bradblog.com might be the Rosetta Stone for election fraud in this country. Additionally, John Brakey has Uncovered some pretty remarkable stuff about one Nathan Sproul of the infamous Sproul and Associates. We'll talk about that in a little bit, what he's found there. Friend of the bushes, that Sproul fella is. Anyway, gentlemen, are you with us here?
Yes, I am, and it's very nice to be online with you.
Now, is that John or David?
Yes, it is. John Brakey.
Okay, and David, let me make sure I get you. Is it Griscom or Griscom?
Griscom.
Griscom.
Yes.
All right.
I'm right here.
I'll try to get that. Glad to have you with us here. Thanks for being here and sharing part of your Saturday night with us. Really appreciate it.
I'm delighted to be here.
All right. Now, let me start with John here. John, it's a tough story to wrap my brain around, so I'm hoping you guys can help me out. Now, what you did after you saw these problems at precinct number 324 in Pima County, Arizona, correct?
Yes.
You spent about, just 800 hours or so putting the name of every voter in precinct 324 into an Excel spreadsheet, and along with the names of everyone, whether they were registered or not, who either signed a roster at the polling place on November 2nd or whose voter ID number was registered on a ballot information slip. Now, what, in a nutshell, if you can, if that's possible, what did you find when you did this study?
Well, in a nutshell, we found one of the most slickest trick and switch scams that I've come across. And a step back a little bit, being greeted with hostility, that was certainly the case in three of the four precincts I had, and it was something else. But what really surprises me is the trick and switch, and how it really worked with the provisionals, and that people did not even know that they had their vote switched or stolen.
Now, do we know that? And by the way, I should give out the number 323-650-1286. That's 323-650-1286. If you want to give us a call and help me out with some of this. So, how did they? How do you know their votes were switched, John?
Well, the documentation. And first off, let me just step back here. Is that the next morning after I'm not even going to go through the story of what happened that night, because it was just incredible. That I was physically intimidated, and basically, how do you go to people and say, these poll workers are illegal, and that they started screaming and yelling at me at 9 o'clock at night, using biblical terms. And, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness as a young man, and when you sit there and be called a pagan, I haven't been called that since I was 15 by my father.
So that touched something off in you, it sounds like. So there was intimidation. That was on election day itself, right?
Yes.
And so you thought, did this give you a clue that something was up here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because they were not following the procedures in the manual. And I was tipped off the day before because, I just moved back from Mexico. And I've only been back here about a year and a half. And I was an inconsistent voter. I would say what we would call a slacker. And I did not participate in other elections because I didn't want to vote if I didn't know who I was voting for. But I registered.
That's
and so immediately they targeted. And I realized at that point that they were targeting the same people that I was trying to get to the polls. And they were redirecting them.
Now, how do you know they were targeting them? What gave you that idea?
Because they targeted me. And then I started calling my friends. Did you get a phone call? No. Then I found people who were inconsistent voters. And they were targeting the same people that I was trying to get to vote. And they were trying to get them to a different polling location.
An incorrect polling location?
Absolutely.
So were you actually called and told to go to an incorrect polling location?
I have the recording.
You do?
I have it saved, and I can email it.
Oh, I would love that.
And then I called back, and I found out it was a reverend who called. Because when I said, is Mr. Mark Reffler there, I heard him yell out and say, is the reverend here?
Okay.
Pretty good cue, huh?
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
By the way, the problems I had in these precincts, two of them were in churches. And the one where I was called and verbally assaulted, and then a lady with a nice big stick tried getting behind me.
Well, before we go into too much details, because I know that Nathan Sproul, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, he's the head of the Arizona Christian Coalition, as well as receiving apparently millions of dollars from the Bush-Cheney team and the Republican Party. Let me ask David here, though. Perhaps you can give us sort of in that nutshell that I'm looking for, when John put all of these numbers together and went through all the names of all the voters in Precinct 324, what did he find that was unusual, numbers-wise?
Okay, well, Brad, what I did, you know, John and I are very different. We describe ourselves left brain and right brain. We think about things differently. So,
and speak up nice and loud for us there, Dave.
Okay, I'll get louder for you. I wanted to be sure not to saturate things. So John got everything on spreadsheets, and I got these spreadsheets on my computer and semi-autonomously basically went through them and became fascinated myself with the patterns, which were very slow to emerge because I didn't know anything about the voting process, and it took a long time to form these hypotheses and, actually just to decide how to slice and dice the data and see what's going on. And eventually I decided to do some kind of a balance sheet, which it wasn't higher math. It's more like an accountant would do, and add up all of the votes that were cast, apparently accepted at the polling place, and all the votes that were required that the poll workers indicated were being provisional. And this was some of them that were required to be provisional because there was an E next to the name on the signature roster that was put there by the recorder to indicate that she believed that they had been sent an early mail-in ballot and that they may have mailed it in. So they would be a provisional voter. And some of the others, apparently, John Fell found poll worker notations in red ink that the poll workers made these people vote provisional, but there was no requirement by the recorder that they vote provisional. So these people have already been tricked and switched into provisional ballots, which they did not need to vote. Well, anyway, I balanced my balance sheet, and I realized that there was this official ballot report and certificate of performance that was signed by all seven poll workers that was their official report. And they listed there all the people that voted at the polling place whose ballots were scanned into the DeBold optical scan machines, all of the ballots that were provisional ballots turned into the recorder's office, all the ballots that were had been spoiled and had been replaced. And I did my balance sheet using all of John's data and found serious disagreements. And I guess the most spectacular one was that I had 98 provisional ballots there, and they claimed only 59. And they sent these 59 to the recorder's office to be checked out. So there were the only way that I could balance these this balance sheet was to assume that 39 provisional ballots that they treated as provisional ballots all the way, and the voter was maybe even made to sign the provisional ballot signature roster, or in 11 cases made to sign both the provisional ballot signature roster and a regular signature roster, which is totally irregular and not something natural that a voter would do. I mean, I can't imagine going to a polling place and without any instruction to sign two places. I would only sign where somebody pointed. So these were irregularities, and in the only way to settle the major part of them was to assume that they took 39 provisional ballots and scanned them right into the optical scan voting machine on election day. And then there were other things. They were alleging that there were 31 spoiled ballots, but when we added up what the profound thing that we did, and this was partly John's idea, partly came from Tom Ryan, who was an engineer that.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Future of Radio, the IBC Radio Network.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street. But high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed, all-talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour-long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentile is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
You need advertising. Without it, no one will hear about your business. Radio is the way to go. Advertising on radio is much more affordable than newspapers, magazines, or television. Advertise your website, product, or service to intelligent, savvy, and moneyed listeners of a 24/7 talk radio network. The IBC Radio Network is the way to go. For more information, call 509-466-3413. That's 509-466-3413. The IBC Radio Network, the future of radio.
Paul Booth, Ed Balkley, John Carpenter, Kevin Clement, Roger Corman, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Guillermo del Toro, Mick Garris, Lou Gentile, Stuart Gordon, Sid Haig, Toby Hooper, Lloyd Kaufman, Alfredo Leon, Lucky McKee, Robert Parigi, George Romero, Eli Roth, Tom Savini, David J. Scal, Mike Varani, Joe Wolf, Rob Zombie. These are the people on the creative advisory board of the Horror Channel. Are you a horror fan? Coming soon, the only 24-hour cable and satellite network dedicated to horror fans around the world. For more information, visit their website at www.horrorchannel.com. That's www.horrorchannel.com. Please call your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
Attention pet owners, how would you like your dog or cat to behave instantly on command? Now you can with a pet trainer. So easy to use, it's like having a remote control for your pet. No electric zaps or shocks. This simple handheld device uses safe and effective ultrasonic sound that commands your pet's attention like magic. Here's how it works. Say your dog jumps on your best furniture. Just press the button to emit the sound. As he snaps to attention, give the command to get down. As soon as he obeys, praise him for the good behavior, and that's it. Veterinarian and endorsed, Pet Trainer is the humane way to train pets, whether it's non-stop barking, chewing shoes, pestering house guests, you name it. Plus, it's the animal-friendly way to deal with unwelcome strays or neighbors' dogs. Satisfaction guaranteed, so call now to try it risk-free. Pet Trainer, just $19.95, plus shipping, uses 9-volt battery not included.
To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-418-8877. That's 1-800-418-8877. 1-800-418-8877.
The Future of Radio, the IBC Radio Network.
my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he mightn't blow up and kill this man.
Yeah, you're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio. John Brakey is with us, and that a little achy breaky heart for you, John. We're here with John Brakey and Dr. David Griscom from Audit AZ. A couple of American heroes, frankly. They have been poring over election data since November 2nd, trying to make sense of what went on in election 2004, as so many of us have. Something is amiss, and they found what could well be the Rosetta Stone, as I like to call it, for election fraud in this country, because they were able to identify specific patterns of specific, I don't know what to call them, voting shenanigans, votes that should not have been there, names that were not there, repeated patterns of the number 11 coming up again and again, where there was 11 votes that were shouldn't have been there, 11 names that were missing, 11, as if they were taught by someone perhaps to do that. And that's the second part of this story here that I want to get into about Nathan Sproul of the infamous Sproul and Associates. There was quite a bit of discussion about him, at least in the blogosphere prior to the election 2004. I know Josh Marshall, John Brakey, am I right about that? Was John Marshall the one who was on this story, the Nathan Sproul story prior to the election?
There was many and individuals all across the country.
Yeah, now to get people caught up here, Nathan Sproul, he's the head of the Arizona... Oh, boy, where's my notes here? He's the head of the Arizona Christian Coalition and just happens to be the head of the Arizona Republican Party. I'm sure that's a coincidence. Now, what you guys, John and David, have found, and want to give a shout-out here to Mark Crispin Miller, who reported on what you guys had found on his blog. John, you had found that Sproul and Associates had been paid a bunch of money from the Republican Party to register voters in Arizona, correct?
Absolutely.
But they apparently they have been charged prior to the election with tearing up voter registration forms for Democrats. Am I correct about that?
All over the country.
They were
working in many, many states, mostly swing states. And he was charged in Oregon, I guess Nevada, Pennsylvania. Librarians were very much in part of exposing, because they made believe that they were another organization, which was a nonpartisan group.
They said that they were actually with, was it the American AVOA? I forget what that stands for. VOOA.
Yeah.
Which is, in fact, nonpartisan, Voters Outreach of America. But the company that he was running, he was putting out ads for, let's see, what did Josh Marshall have? Yeah, he had an ad for VOOA saying that they were canvassing neighborhoods in support of the GOP. But he wasn't really running Voters Outreach of America, was he?
They had a company formed with the same name, but their intention was to go ahead and poll people, and if they found they were Republican, they would go ahead, are you registered to vote? And if you're a Democrat, and they'd say thank you. And in a lot of cases, some of their poll workers, or their workers collecting the votes, were just registering because they did that. And when they took them into the office and say, what are you doing? We don't want Democrats. And there's an interesting audio tape that can be had on that.
Oh, sure. Now you tell me you got all this audio tape, John.
You're a busy man, sir.
Yeah, it's a radio show, John. You gotta give anyway. So you found that the Republicans had paid these guys something like $435,000 or something had shown up on the Open Secrets website. And then what happened? That money started disappearing, and then it was getting bigger.
Well, what happened was, Brad, is that we were monitoring it all the time because we knew that he was part of it because of other investigations. Because, you know, once we found this, we wanted to find how widespread. And I was canvassing other areas, not auditing, canvassing, and looking over what was done and the patterns we found. And then the next thing you know, with the mix-up with all the stories about him and who he was and his reputation in Arizona, we started monitoring the financing. And at the last minute, it looks like that some poor account in the GOP, or Republican National Committee, went ahead and filed it, and it was out there. And then I blogged it out, and I sent it to Mark Crispin Miller, you and other people. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared. And as the story was coming out in the newspaper, and so then Mark Crispin Miller and his staff went ahead and investigated, found it, and it wasn't $5.6 million, it was $8.3 million.
And what is this money supposedly for that was paid to us? Do they say on these websites? I guess this is from the Open Secrets website?
Yes, and which they get it from the Federal Election Commission. We know that $1.7 million approximately was for voter registration, and the other millions was for political consulting. How do you like that?
That's all it says, political consulting. Now, yeah. To be fair, is there anything wrong with paying them for political consulting?
Well, you know, we're talking about a campaign that was huge, and he was the eighth largest expense that the Republican Party had. And I'd say this, the pattern we found and what we talk about, the Rosetta Stone, is a very slick trick and switch that was taught. We had a very big shortage of poll workers. The Democratic Party was very interested in getting people to the polls. And they were very much concerned about being there to receive. And what I call this thing Havigate, because the Help America Vote Act is a very big part, because Arizona's been doing provisionals for 20 years.
Right.
And that made him very valuable. And because they've been doing this for quite a while, we've gone back as far as 1994. And, you know, we've looked into the campaign of Senator Strangelove, which is John Kyle.
And John
Senator
Kyle?
Senator John Kyle.
Senator John Kyle.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that he is somehow involved with the Sproul and Associates and some of this monkey business that may have gone on?
I'm saying how he got elected.
Let me make this actually clear to folks, because from some of your documentation, and you guys had actually, or at least Dr. David Griscom, who's also with us there, testified last week at the election assessment hearings in Houston. And one of the things that you testified, Precinct 324 was registered 47% Democrat, 31% third party or independent, and just 22% Republican. Yet, according to official Pima County records, Bush garnered 41.5% at the polling place vote compared to 57% for Kerry. Now, that's fine, but when you contrast the provisional ballots that were actually accepted by the Pima County recorder, that was 19% for Bush and 81% for Kerry. So the suggestion here, David, is that the provisional ballots were accurate, but what they did at the polling places was somehow game the vote to change the percentage. Would that be correct?
That's my idea. David, are you there?
Hang on. We got to bring David up. David?
Okay.
There you go. Try again now.
How you doing? Okay.
Good.
To me, it's difficult to imagine any means of cheating on a provisional ballot that was sent to and accepted by the recorder's office in a sealed envelope with the voter's name and signature appearing on the attached affidavit.
So those can be checked. There's a paper trail for those. We can check and make sure those are fine. But in the actual polling place,
right,
if in fact these guys were trained somehow to mess with the ballots, then that's what you're suggesting?
Yeah, by more than suggesting, I mean, I've done a calculation based on, you know, there are 11 of this and 11 of that, but these are irregularities which, if they are used in an orchestrated manner to steal votes in one direction, could have shifted the vote by 12.8%, according to my relatively conservative calculation, just using my balance sheet.
By 12.8%, and what was the margin of difference between Bush and Kerry in Arizona?
Well, I mean, it's not a question of winning here, but it's a question of shifting the national vote so that,
sure,
everybody is anesthetized into believing that, well, Bush got the national vote anyway, so why worry about the state votes he really won?
So is your suggestion then that what they were doing in Arizona, potentially in other swing states around the country,
non-swing states even, yeah,
is just gaming the, tweaking, if you will, the polls a little bit in each of these places just to get the popular vote up so we didn't have a repeat of 2000?
I think that's probably everybody that's done any thought about the theft of the 2004 election has that as a given.
David, do you feel that the election was stolen?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and John, do you share that?
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to America, huh?
Yes. And but you know, Brad.
Yeah.
One of the most remarkable things about the Rosetta Stone that we have, you know, computers make terrible witnesses.
Yeah.
You can't cross them.
Right.
Okay. Statistics, talking from a person who has left brain capacity, is that I don't want to hear statistics. I want to hear witnesses, and we have them, and we have a pattern that can be repeated all over the country. Because I knew from the audit I was doing that when Ralph Nader was recounting the vote up there, he wasn't going to find it.
Why?
Because the trick and switch. Because they got people to go ahead and sign a signature roster and the provisional roster, and as soon as they left, they marked spoiled next to their name and pulled a new ballot. And they told people, you know, gee, you know, your provisional will be good. You can call the recorder's office, and they'll tell if your vote was good or not. Well, when you sign the provisional roster, it indicates a vote went into the machine.
And you actually asked these people. You went and you contacted some
Absolutely.
Of these people. And did you get affidavits from them?
Yeah, I got statements, but I need to get a lawyer to go ahead and draw the affidavits. But these people are angry. And you know, to me, Brad, which is so important about the Rosetta Stone, it's very important. I cannot emphasize this.
Yeah.
It's the people. And, you know, on a federal level, we've lost our media nationally, okay? We're not going to get the feds to do anything. We have to think locally. All politics is local. We have to go ahead and start concentrating on our precincts, find the pattern, go ahead and do it. We're going to get ready to do another precinct.
That's what I was going to ask.
And then go ahead and go and demand that the Pima County Attorney's Office, after all this evidence, with a coalition we're building, and get a lot of people involved, and demand that they're charged. Now, these people are good people who have been misled.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that, but they're ideologically minded. And, you know, being a Democrat or Republican doesn't matter to them.
But we're going to, you know what, we got to take a quick break here. I want to ask you about what other people around the country can do. And I want to ask you about doing another precinct and what your plans are there, because I know you did a lot of work on this one, but it would be interesting to see if we could find similar patterns in other precincts nearby in Arizona. Not that I want to make you work that much harder, but hey.
Hi, this is James Atha Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality. All without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here. On Feet to the Fire. Feet. Sunday evenings. 8 to 11 Eastern. Live on the IBC Radio Network.
It's no secret that the trick to making big money on Wall Street is finding out about a company and pre-positioning yourself before it gets discovered. Check out Viper Networks Incorporated, ticker symbol VPER. Viper Networks is a diversified technology development company that markets innovative products and services. Viper is becoming widely known for its V-Phone, a revolutionary product for making telephone calls over the Internet. With the V-Phone, you can make crystal-clear international and long-distance calls for the price of a local call. Computer-to-computer calls cost only a penny per minute. V-Phone connects easily to any personal computer with simple plug-and-play technology. As with all investments, you should consult with a financial advisor before getting involved. This announcement is paid for by VPER and is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. Learn all about Viper Networks by visiting their website at www.vipernetworks.com. That's www.vipernetworks.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com. Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. Visit their website to learn more about these products at life-enthusiast.com.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com.
In 2004, IBC had a major hard drive failure on a computer that housed all of our audio commercial backups. I thought we were going to have to shell out big bucks. Until I stumbled across a little company claiming their software could do what the $1,000 companies could do. Well, it worked. Get data back. Try a demo today and stop searching for high-priced solutions. Visit runtime.org. That's runtime.org.
Is your name written in the Bible code? Is your past, present, and future encoded in ancient scriptures? Find the answers with Code Finder Millennium Edition Bible Code Software. Discover for yourself the enigmatic phenomenon that is the Bible code. Visit our website now and gain instant access to the world's number one ranked Bible code software, Code Finder, used by thousands of researchers worldwide. Find us at www.codefinder.us. That's www.codefinder.us.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter. This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me our vote don't matter anymore. Our vote is well worth fighting for.
Oh, yeah, it's well worth fighting for. And that's exactly our what John Brakey and Dr. David Griscom from Audit AZ are doing. They are fighting for your vote. And I can't thank them enough for that. By the way, that I played that song quite a bit lately. That's from Victoria Parks. You can download it yourself at victoriaparks.com. I love that song. Hey, guys, we got just a minute or two here, so I want to fly through a couple of quick things. First, does Audit AZ have a website where people can get more information on all of this?
I'm afraid not, and that's one thing we have to get going on.
All right, you
and,
do.
Because this information is that important.
Yeah, it sure is. And if I can help, I will try to get some of that stuff out. We can also post it over at velvetrevolution.us. So let's get in touch after the blogathon weekend, which is going on right now at bradblog.com. And I got a note here, by the way, saying from Dr. Steve Veeley that an anonymous donor will match contributions up to $1,000 for all donations and purchases at the Brad store during the Brad show. So whoever that anonymous donor is, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please donate and buy Brad store stuff at bradblog.com. A lot of stuff going on over there. Okay, real quickly in our remaining minutes here, people were fired, John Brakey, I understand, at the poll after you reported what you found. Is that true?
That is correct.
And what was the grounds that they were fired?
Well, the reverend and his wife, for incompetency, and they would like to sweep these things under the carpet as incompetency.
And based on the material that you presented?
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't until the article came out in the paper, I started meeting with Brad, and, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt and dealing in good faith, and I expect that back from him.
Now, that's Brad, not me, Brad.
Nelson.
That's, what's that?
It's Brad Nelson.
Brad Nelson.
The, who's the head of the election board in Pima County?
Yes, sir.
And has he admitted that it was due to the material you gave him that caused him to fire these guys?
Yes, and but he didn't want to go any farther. And when I suggested I wanted to come in with some of my people and meet, he said no, but he would meet me on a one-on-one. And that's what we've been doing.
How many times have you met?
Twice.
And is he going to move forward with any charges here?
We are getting together again, hopefully next week, and finding what the status is. And that's why my last meeting with him, he said, you know, this is all interesting, but it's not going to change the election and do anything different. And at that point, I withheld things, because when he says there was no problems, then I can prove it with the last part of documentation, which is the ballot slips, which are very, very important, Brad.
Yeah.
Because of the intent is on those slips. They did some very unusual, they kept notes. And just to let the listeners know, the ballot tabs I got the next morning after Democracy Now! And Greg Palast says, check the garbage. And I went down there. That was a big garbage pile. And the library was open. And I went in there, and those ballot tabs, I saw them using the night before illegally changing data.
You saw them changing data?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow, this is an incredible...
At 3:30 election day, I knew the election was lost.
All
and,
right.
You know, all I could think back is what Bill Moyer said in his speech, Journalism Fire. That I know that Karl Rove is walking around the White House whistling Onward Christian Soldiers, because I know how many votes these pious people are going to steal.
Well, we're going to be talking about Karl Rove in the next hour with Bill Israel. I'm sorry that we got to jump out here. I really appreciate you guys taking your time out of your Saturday to be with us. And more so, I really appreciate everything you guys are doing for this country. Please stick at it, and thanks for being with us tonight.
We have to, Brad. This is our country, and it's something we need to be concerned about, because I want to see us stay as a democracy, not a theocracy.
I'll stay with it if you do. Thanks, thanks, guys. We're going to be back.
Thank you.
You betcha. We're going to be back with Bill Israel after this break on The Brad Show, Raw Radio.
Raw Radio.